Good afternoon. We want to welcome you to our Word on Wednesday Bible study. I'm grateful to God that you are able to join us on this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Master, we thank you so much because we owe everything to you. And everything we have is because of you. So, Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Master, it is through him that we have the faith, the hope, and the resurrection that keeps us going on a daily basis. Touch this Bible study that we all may be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 As always, I solicit your prayers for our pastor as he's away. We hope that he's getting the rest that he rightly deserves, him and his family. So keep Pastor Reese in prayer while he's away, trying to refresh and re-energize himself so he can come back with zeal and gusto, and that God may use him in a powerful way. Also, I solicit your prayers for our pastor emeritus. He's taking some time off as well. We pray God's blessing upon him, that he gets the rest that he needs. So on today, we're continuing our theme on a prescription for the pandemic. A prescription for the pandemic. These are some nuggets that you can use while we are going through this pandemic. I've always said that this pandemic didn't sneak up on God. God already knew that this pandemic was going to occur. It was a surprise to us, but it wasn't a surprise to God. And so we go to the one who knows everything to get the instructions that we need in order to carry on our journey. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been dealing with the concept of Christians being rooted. Christians being rooted in their faith, not budging, not going to the left, not going to the right. The Bible gives us illustrations from an agricultural aspect of us being planted. And the whole concept of being planted is that we know that the storms of life are going to come our way, but because we are embedded in the arms of Christ, who is our anchor, when the storms do come, we may move a little bit, but we're not going to be uprooted. We are not going to be uprooted. We are in the hands of Christ. He himself said that those that are in his hands cannot be plucked out. So we are secure and confident in our faith, and come whatever storm comes our way, God already knows the storm is coming. So we are to be confident that he's going to take us through. Whatever happens to us as Christians, we can't ever forget that God has given us assurance that it's going to be all right. Whether I'm here physically or he calls me home, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. Doesn't matter what this life is throwing at you at this point, you're going to be all right if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're going to be all right. So today's lesson is a further encouragement, and it's a step away from our lessons the last 2 weeks on being rooted. Today's lesson, we're dealing with the rules for righteousness. So we just left the concept of being rooted, remaining rooted, and now we're going to talk about the rules for righteousness. And I realize that righteousness, this word being righteous, is not something that we use a lot in our Christian walk. I haven't heard a whole bunch of people come up to me and say, you know what, I'm striving to be righteous. I haven't heard a whole bunch of church people talk about righteousness. But the Bible talks about it, and that's what matters. There are concepts in the Bible that we hear inside the church walls, and some Christians use it, and many of us assume these words mean one thing when the Bible sometimes is saying something different. But it is to our benefit that we learn some of these terms because they are essential for our growth. They are essential for our faith. They are an essential part of our Christian diet. So we need to make sure that we get a handle on the concept of righteousness. What is it? What does it mean to be righteous? So in your handouts, if you go to our website under resources, you'll see Bible study, then you'll see handout. If you go to our handout, you'll see that it says a prescription for the pandemic, rules for righteousness. The term righteousness is found throughout the Bible, as I said. It is referenced in both the Old as well as the New Testament. In order for us to understand what righteousness is all about, we have to go to the source. The source is God, and God's word is the Bible. So we have the Bible, and if you know the Bible, then you know what God's will is as it relates to righteousness. So in the Old Testament, as we look at the scriptures, the word righteous can be found in Strong's Hebrew and Greek lexicon. For those of you who have it, you can go and take a look at what these words mean and how they're used in scripture. So in the Old Testament, there's a word called tzaddik, and it means to be just, and it means lawful. So righteousness in the Hebraic sense means just. It means lawful. It means someone who is just and someone who is lawful. I'll explain a little bit more later. In the New Testament, the reference that we're dealing with is this Greek word, dikaios. And the conjugated form of dikaios is dikaiosu. And they both mean equitable in character, or actions, or to be just, to be lawful. So they basically mean the same thing. The Hebrew word tzaddik, the Greek word dikaios or dikaiosu, they both mean just, equitable, fair. So this word righteousness, as we attempt to unpack it, this word righteousness, or to be righteous, or to be just, or to be lawful, It has this connotation that's compartmentalized in two parts. First of all, what we're saying is the Bible tells us God is righteous. That's the first part. God is a righteous God. What we're saying is God is infinitely righteous. God is infinitely just. God is infinitely fair. God is infinitely lawful. God himself says, I swear by myself. And that's what he's talking about, that he is the standard of rightness. God is the standard of justice. So since he's the standard, whenever we say that this is a good person, if we ever say this is a good person, what you're saying is you are agreeing with God that this is the definition of what good is. This is what good looks like because God has already classified it as good. If we say this is not right, what you're insinuating is you know what good is, and this person is not living up to the standard of goodness, so we classify that as wrong. If it's not good, then it has to be wrong. So if we say that is wrong, or this person is behaving in a wrong way, or this transgression was wrong, then what we're saying is we already know what goodness looks like, and this is not good, this is not lawful, this is not just. So we know how to classify things, but we need to make sure that our classification matches up with God's classification. So righteousness means God, as it relates to God, God is just. God is lawful. God is fair. But as it relates to us, we are finite. In God, righteousness is infinite. But in humanity, we're finite. We are a reflection of God, and we deal in a finite experience. So what we're saying as relates to righteousness, we're using the same words, that we as humans, we become righteous when we start conducting ourselves in a righteous manner. When we start being fair, when we start following the justice, the law of God, when we start implementing the prescriptions and instructions that God gives us, then we take on the title of right, of being righteous. God, however, the contrast with God is all righteous. That is his nature. That is his ontology. That is his being. God is just. God is fair. That's his attribute. That's who God is. So he has all of that from an eternal standpoint. God can't run out of it. That's who he is. And there's never a time that God is not just. There's never a time that God is not fair. There's never a time where God isn't just. But when it comes to us, we are righteous in a finite aspect. We know that sometimes we walk in righteousness, and we're not talking about salvation. Righteousness deals with salvation, meaning that as it relates to salvation, God is just, meaning that if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and he saves you, you're secure into the day of redemption, but he's also just in the sense that if you decide you don't want Jesus, he's not going to force himself on you, but you have to deal with the consequences. So righteousness, as the definition, we're dealing with two aspects. We're dealing with righteousness of God, then we're dealing with righteousness of humanity as we relate to one another. So for a working definition, if you have your pen, you can write this down. We're talking about righteousness in the sense of an established relationship that's fulfilled through expectations. Let me say that again. The establishment of a relationship, which is the fulfilled expectation within a relationship. The establishment of a relationship, the fulfilled expectation within a relationship. And in this sense, we're talking about God, and then we're talking about humanity. So it's dealing with relationship in terms of justice, in terms of fairness, in terms of equity, in terms of standards. Who God is to us involves righteousness. Who we are to our neighbor involves righteousness. So it's a standard. For those of you who walk by faith, not by sight, God classifies you as righteous. And then we're going to kind of look at the profile of righteousness, meaning what does righteousness look like? And if we're going to make it through this pandemic, we certainly have to make sure that we're doing it God's way and not how we feel or what we think or what it looks like. Today, we're dealing with COVID-19. Yesterday, we were dealing with the Black Plague. Yesterday, we were dealing with yellow fever. Yesterday, we were dealing with whooping cough. Yesterday, we were dealing with SARS. You guys remember SARS? So humanity will always go through the storms, But the question is, how will the Christians respond? And the response for the Christian has not changed. We've had the scriptures, especially the New Testament, since the first century. And God has given us a prescription for us to make it through any storm that come our way. There's no reason for the Christian to walk contrary to what God has already prescribed. We're not moved, or our marching orders is not initiated by circumstance. We already know who we are. Circumstances will come and go, but God's word remains the same. And since God's word remains the same, we remain rooted and we follow the prescription for the pandemic. So what does it look like? These are things I want you to consider in terms of righteous conduct. When you make a mistake, are you able to apologize? Do you apologize? The righteous man or woman realizes that they have made a mistake, or they made an error, or they fail, and as a result, they know it's the right thing to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Forgive me, I messed up. So the righteous person is quick to forgive. The righteous person is quick to say, I'm sorry. That is a profile of a righteous individual. Are we trustworthy? That's another question that we need to unravel. As a righteous person, are you trustworthy? Can I trust you with something and for you to keep it? Can I confide in you without you spreading it all over the place? Can I trust you with things that matter? Are you trustworthy? If you give your word, do you keep your word? Are you trustworthy? The righteous person is trustworthy. The righteous person is concerned about keeping a vow. It's all through the Bible. Do not make a vow unless you're able to keep it. All through the scriptures. So are you trustworthy? Do your managers have to go look for you when you're supposed to be back from lunch? Are you trustworthy? Even in family structures, we all have people in our family, and we know we can't put certain things in their hands because they're not going to be able to manage it well. But the righteous person, the one that is following Jesus, the one that is striving for masteries, they're concerned about how people view them in terms of their bond, in terms of their covenant. If I give you my word, and my the person that usually is able to keep my word, and people are able to trust me. So if we're going to make it through the pandemic, we got to be trustworthy. We got to be trustworthy. We have to be those individuals that God can trust. And not only God, but the family of God can trust you. Your own family at home can trust you. Are we trustworthy? Are we able to keep our word? Somebody may be saying, well, since now that I know that if I, whatever I say, I'm going to be held accountable, then I'm just not going to say anything. You can't do that. You can't do that. We all have something to say in this life. We all have a contribution. But the key is, before you make a vow, do what God asks you to do. Consider what it is you're getting ready to say. Consider it. Think through it. Process it. Make sure it's something you can do. Some of you all, not you, but it's the other person. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other person. In ministry, some people sign up for ministry, and then as the ministry goes along, you can't find those individuals anymore. They stop showing up. and they don't notify anybody, they don't talk to the church, they don't call anyone, they just drop off the radar. And we're not saying things don't come up. Things do come up in life, but it's our obligation. If you made a vow, if you made a covenant, that we be responsible enough to say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, this happened in my life, and I know I made a commitment, but I can't keep this commitment anymore. That's what we ought to do. We ought to keep our word. That's what righteous people do. Righteous people keep their word. We keep our bond. Righteous people keep their covenants. How many times do we hear of people that were so in love, so enamored, they made vows for sickness or in health, rich or poor, and then storms of life happen, and all of a sudden people get physical amnesia. They don't remember their vows anymore. They're ready to throw in the towel instead of getting on their knees and talking to God about it and asking God on both sides, asking God to help them to find the purpose in this relationship, to start doing things God's way. Amen. So keeping our commitment, keeping our vows are essential. So if you want to know what righteousness looks like, righteous people are the one, number one, who apologize when they make a mistake. Number two, they know that they are trustworthy. If we put something in their hands, they will maintain it. They are good stewards. Then the third thing, let's ask the question, are we faithful to our families, to our friends, to our church? And I just gave an example. So if we're faithful and we're trustworthy, God can use us immensely. God will bless us. God, when God knows that he can put certain things in our hands, he'll do great things through us. Do we operate in prudence? Meaning, do we live our lives according to the wisdom of God? Righteous people do that. They live their lives in accordance to the precepts of God's word. The precepts, right? We said that righteousness is a relationship. It's a fulfilled expectation based on justice, based on fairness, based on equity. So we're living by God's justice, by God's law. And the righteous person operates out of prudence. It's not based on gender. It's not based on age. It's not based on color. If you pick up this word of God and you start learning and putting in practice what the word of God is saying, you find yourself avoiding unnecessary storms. You find yourself navigating through life where other people might have failed in this particular pit. God will navigate you around it. And if you happen to get caught up in the pit, you find yourself celebrating. You find yourself experiencing true joy, even though you are in a situation, even though you're in a storm. You find yourself praising God. You find yourself making it through without grumbling, without complaining, without having a pity party, without going through distress, without going through a bout of depression. We all go through things, all of us. But can we honestly say we are experiencing joy while we go through the storm? We've been in this pandemic for over a year. And it's been challenging at times, but I haven't lost my joy. It's been tough at times, but I have not lost my joy. It hasn't always been easy, but I'm not going to give up my joy. And another thing I'm not doing is I'm not putting my hope in tomorrow, in the sense that I'm not putting my hope in post-pandemic times. What if we don't come out of this thing for another 3 or 4 or 5 years? My hope is in Jesus. And since it started, my witnessing has not changed. My praying has not changed. My giving has not changed. My worship has not changed. The same thing I was doing before the pandemic, I'm doing it through the pandemic. So righteous people are righteous in spite of life challenges, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of everything the devil is throwing at us. We are covered. We are protected in a sense that we're not sheltered from challenges. We're not put aside where storms of life won't get to us. We will experience storms of life, but God is going to take us through it. When they come, the Lord is right there with us. And I'm confident of that. And this is not just theory. It's something that he's been helping me with for the last 30 plus years. And the song says he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other should ever know. Amen. So righteousness is a label that we need to embrace. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that you strive for perfection because our Savior is perfect. We're going to fall sometimes, but yet we strive. We're going to be hit hard sometimes, but yet we strive. We don't lower the bar because our bar is Jesus, and Jesus is the epitome. Jesus is our standard, and that's who we're following. So don't ever lower the standard. We can make it, and we will make it through this pandemic. Matter of fact, Jesus may come back tonight. Jesus may come back tonight. This is why I'm not putting my hope in post-pandemic times. Jesus might come back tomorrow. So I am enjoying our Lord today. I'm enjoying knowing Jesus today because I don't know what tonight holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week holds. So while I have breath, I praise him. That's what righteous people do. Righteous people take opportunities to worship God in spite of the difficulties. I worship him in spite of the gossip. I worship him. In spite of my financial situation, I worship him. In spite of abandonment, I worship him. In spite of what other people say about me, I worship him. In spite of not having a job, I worship him. In spite of everything this life throws at me, I will worship him in bad times and especially in good times. Oftentimes, we forget to praise God like we should when things are going good. But that's when we ought to praise him. Let's not wait until the storm and the clouds are dark. Let's praise him in spite of our conditions. Amen. So the profile of the righteous. Are we disciplined in our stewardship? The things that God has entrusted you and put in your hands. The righteous person is faithful. They know how to handle it. What are we doing with God's resources? Amen. What are we doing with his resources? God can use little and make much. God can do much with the little that we have. So whatever it is God has gifted you with, placed in your hands, are we using it for him? Are we using it for him? There used to be a time where church people would go pick up other people that didn't have a ride to church. Righteous people do that. There used to be a time where I remember we used to take care of people that couldn't take care of themselves. Are we willing to do that? So there's so much work that needs to be done. As Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can God trust you to glorify him with the things that he's entrusted you with? Amen. Can he trust you? Are you willing to use it for his glory? Are you willing to use it for kingdom building? What are you doing to glorify God based on the things he's given you? If God has blessed you with a beautiful voice, are you using it for his kingdom building, or are you just keeping it to yourself? If God has built, blessed you with a beautiful home, are you willing to use it for his glory? If God has blessed you with transportation, are you willing to use it for his glory? If God has blessed you with a big bank account, are you willing to use it for kingdom building? So this is a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. Am I living up to the expectations that God has given me? Rules for righteous living. We as believers, we can't go through this pandemic like non-believers. We see what non-believers are doing. Non-believers and other folks, even some church folks, are doing things that God hasn't endorsed. We're doing things that God hasn't endorsed. And this natural inclination to follow what the world is doing is never going to put us in a place where God is going to embrace what we're doing. Let me explain. Righteousness has to be consistent with true theology. It has to be consistent with sound doctrine. And I'm hearing things in today's culture from the world, as well as people that go to church. That's the difference. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you know the Lord necessarily. And just because people have titles doesn't mean necessarily that they know Jesus intimately. But I do know this. Jesus wants us to be a good neighbor. I do remember scriptures telling us there's no greater love than a man who's willing to lay down his life for others. And that could be taken in a metaphorical sense, and that's true, as well as it can be taken in a physical sense. In this pandemic, we should not be warring against one another. It's all humans against this disease. This disease doesn't care if you're rich, poor. Doesn't matter what class you have, doesn't matter how many degrees you have, this disease is an equal opportunity destroyer. So as a result, it behooves humankind to get on the same page as much as we can. We must look out for one another. It's not about me. It's not about just me. And that's what I'm hearing. There's a lot of self-centeredness arguments that I'm hearing. And God didn't call us to be self-centered. It's humanity, meaning life above all else. Life above all else. So since God values life, I am distressed when I see one person that dies based on what we're going through. It's sad. It's a sad thing. And you can't get a life back. So we must do all we can. Doesn't matter what political affiliation you may be involved in. The righteous person leans on God and follow the words that God has prescribed to us, not the rhetoric of those that don't know the Lord. And if someone is espousing something and they say they know the Lord and we see that it's contradictory to Scripture, we got to go with God. You can't go by man. Man deals with probabilities. God deals with certainty. But the righteous person, the righteous man or woman, we don't walk by the drumbeat of philosophy. We don't walk by the drumbeat of humanism. We don't walk by the drumbeat of politics. We walk by the drumbeat of Jesus Christ. He's our drum major. We walk by the drumbeat of Jesus Christ because he's our drum major. Do we walk by faith? That's a question that the righteous person should be able to answer. Do a spiritual inventory on yourself. Do I honestly walk by faith, or do I just talk about walking by faith? Look at your life and do a spiritual inventory. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The righteous live by faith, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that's what righteous people do. Righteous people see things that other people don't see. Righteous people, because they live by faith, God shows them and gives them discernment. God gives them a sneak preview and insight into things that the natural man and woman would never see. That is afforded to the righteous. So if we're going to make it through this pandemic, we need righteous folks to start living by faith. We need the church to start living by faith and practicing the principles of the scripture. Amen. Those that are holy, and that word holy simply means you're set aside for God to use. Those that are sanctified, sanctification means the same thing. You're set aside for God to use. Being holy, being sanctified, is all a part or a profile of the righteous individual. We have an obligation to God. Again, we're talking about righteousness, this relationship, this expectation of relationship, a fulfilled expectation. We have a relationship. We expect God to do what he's going to do because that's who he is. God is just, God is fair, God is equitable. But then God also has expectation of us. He wants us to be fair. He wants us to be just. He wants us to be equitable towards other people. So do we walk by faith, the profile of the righteous? Are we honest? Are we honest? Are we truth tellers? Do we tell things like it is, or do we fabricate? Or do we, according to some people, tell white lies? If we're going to make it through this pandemic the way that God wants us to make it through the pandemic, we got to be honest. We got to be honest. Honest about God. Do we really trust God? Do we really believe that he's there when we're going through the storms? We got to be honest. Do we really trust this Bible? The righteous person is honest. One thing about King David that I appreciate is he wasn't perfect, but he's credited for having the heart of God. And all that means is that he was honest. When he was walking with God in the righteous mode, he was honest. When he messed up, he was honest. So if we're going to get the help that we need, we got to be honest with God. Amen. So if we're going to make it through this pandemic in a joyful way, in a redeeming way, in a glorious way, we got to be honest. All of us have to be honest. We have to be honest with our shortcomings. We have to be honest with our blind spots. All of us have blind spots. If you don't believe you have blind spots, talk to the people closest to you. They'll tell you what your blind spots are. But all of us have blind spots. And we want, if we're going to get the help that we need from our Lord, we got to be honest. We got to be honest with ourselves. So lastly, do we talk the talk? Do we walk the walk in divine confidence? Do we talk the talk? Do we walk the walk in divine confidence? These are questions and thoughts that we have to reflect on as we consider whether or not we're walking in righteousness or we lived in righteousness. These are rules for righteous living. Am I walking the walk? Meaning that as a Christian, I don't need to look over my shoulders to see if somebody is watching me do something I'm not supposed to do. If I say I'm a Christian, I don't have to worry about that because I'm living for Jesus, not just inside the church walls, but I'm living for Jesus at work. I'm living for Jesus at home. I'm living for Jesus in the community. I'm living for Jesus while I'm on vacation. I'm not going to act differently from being at church the way that I act if I am vacationing in Sin City. Amen. You don't have to look over your shoulder. Righteous people don't have to look over their shoulder. They're already talking to God wherever they are. They already know God is already there wherever they are. God sees us when we live in right. God sees us when we're being hypocritical. God sees us when we have transgressed. God sees all. So it behooves us to be consistent with our faith. If we want the blessings that God wants to give us, we got to do our part. God always does his part, but we definitely have to do our part. All this naming and claiming and blabbing and grabbing stuff, God is not in that. God deals with the righteous. God deals with the circumcised heart. God deals with the man or woman who endeavors through faith to live for him, to live his or her life according to his precepts. That's what gets God in the mode of blessing us the way he wants to bless us. So just because we're in the pandemic doesn't mean that we should be taking time off. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't walk in holiness. Matter of fact, now is the time to not let our light be glossed over or covered up because we're in a pandemic. Now is the time to let the glory of the Lord shine through us. Now is the time for us to keep living the Christian walk so other people would know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is pandemic proof. Now is the time for believers to keep living the way that they should be living, because this is some dark times. And once you're in darkness, when there's light, that light become more glaring. And that's what the world needs. The world needs to see more righteous Christians. The world needs to see that. They need to see Christians who are consistent. They need to see Christians who are dedicated to the Father. They need to see Christians putting their faith in action. They need to see a difference. We shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't spend like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. We shouldn't live like the world. We shouldn't preach like the world. We shouldn't teach like the world. We shouldn't sing like the world. We shouldn't go in places like the world, because we are different. Hallelujah. We are different. So God is calling on us to be righteous. It's not just relegated for the preacher. It's not just relegated for the minister. It's not just relegated for the deacons. It's not just relegated for the pastor. All of us are called to walk in holiness and to practice righteousness. Righteousness in relationship to God, we talked about it, has two aspects. Righteousness dealing with God's righteousness. And I want to take a look at Psalms chapter 11, verse 7. Psalms 11 and 7. And Psalm 11 and 7 says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So it tells us right there, God is righteous. That is his makeup. That is his ontology. That is his beingness. His divinity is rooted in him being upright, in being righteous, in being just. God is justice. God is righteous. But then when it comes to us, we are righteous in a finite way. God wants us to exhibit his godly standards in the lives of other people. So the way that we treat people, we need to treat them righteously. The way that we live our lives, we need to live righteously. The way that we conduct our affairs, it needs to be rooted in righteousness. So we learn that righteousness is of God. That's where it comes from. It comes from God. It comes from his holy nature. Then the second part of it is our relationship to God, right? This is a connection. Because we know God, we pick up his ways, we pick up his traits, we pick up his habits. So in the finite way, we are reflecting the infinite nature of God. We know that God doesn't lie, so we should get in the habit of not lying. We know that God can be trusted in terms of him keeping his words, so we should learn how to we can be trusted by keeping our words that we make. We know that God is trustworthy. We need to be trustworthy with the things that we do as relates to humanity. We know that God is loving. Well, we need to be loving. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says you can be gifted all you want. You can have all the gifts, but if you don't have love, you don't have much. And so God gives us the standard, and we are a finite reflection of who God is and what he expects from us. So let's look at some of these proverbs that's on our handout. I believe that these scriptures would be a blessing to all of us, me included. So let's look at Proverbs 10 and 20 as we talk about the righteousness of the believer. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. It would help if I get into the right area. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. It's right there on the sheet, but I just want to read it from the scriptures. It says in the King James Version, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. And then in the NASB, it said, the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. So the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. So choice silver is worth something. Worth money. It is something that people desire. It's something to be treasured, choice silver. And we learn from God that the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. It's treasure. There are some people that I don't mind listening to. There are some people that have so much wisdom. I don't mind sitting at their feet and hearing from them. And what they have to impart to me is better than any type of jewelry. It's better than any type of silver, any type of gold. Their words are like that. Their words are valuable. What they say are valuable. And if you listen to them, just like our pastor emeritus, Ephraim Williams. Pastor Williams, when he talks, if you listen to him, you have a whole bunch of treasures that stem from it. If you listen to him, because he's been walking with the Lord a long time, because the Lord has gifted him with wisdom. I know some of you all have said, well, you know, pastor don't know what he's talking about because he's old-fashioned. Well, be careful. Be careful. Because if what he's saying has biblical roots, if what he's telling you, if the principle of what he's telling you has biblical precedent, then what you're saying is you're not willing to listen to the words of God, because sometimes people that give us wisdom, we talk about them because we're not ready to fully embrace what they're saying. But if what they're saying has biblical precedence, then in reality, the truth of their message is eternal. And if something is eternal, it has no expiration date. So you can talk about it all you want. You can say it's old-fashioned and we don't need to do it anymore. But if it's truthful, if it has a biblical precedent, that means that whatever that person of wisdom is giving you is eternal. It has no expiration date. So it's always going to be true. It's always going to be honored by God. So we need to be careful when we listen to people. The tongue of the righteous. So we're being challenged. Whatever we say, make sure that it's rooted in love. Whatever we say, make sure that the principles are backed up by the scriptures. Whatever we say, make sure that it's wholesome, whatever we say. So when we do that, it's better, or it's like choice silver, right? People treasure silver. People want silver because it's worth something. Well, good words are the same. They're worth something. Good encouragement, it's the same thing. It's worth something. Honoring God with our lips is worth something. It's spiritual treasure. And that goes a long way. And it's better than earthly treasures, because earthly treasures will corrupt. Earthly treasures will lose its value. But what we do for God will always last. Only what you do for Christ will last eternally. So the righteous man, the righteous woman, they know how to use the tongue to build up, not to tear down, the tongue to edify. That's what we do. James talks about the tongue. You can read that in the book of James. But we as Christians, if we are going to fulfill our mandate of righteousness, we must learn how to talk to people. We must learn how to speak rooted in wisdom, not rooted in our own philosophies. Proverbs 11 and 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The righteous, the desire of the righteous is only good. That, to me, it's an important point. It's an important lesson. It reminds me of Psalm 37 and 4. And many of you know Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And many people quote part B of that passage. The Lord will give me the desires of my heart. And then we run with it. But what we don't do sometimes is look at part A of that verse. Part A says, delight thyself in the Lord. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, then you develop righteous desires, because you've been talking to God, because you've been delighting yourself in the Lord. You are not putting in you things that shouldn't be there. Right? We're into Jesus. We are into getting to know God. We're delighting ourselves in God and his precepts. We're delighting ourselves in God and his instructions. We're delighting ourselves in God and his commandments. So we're into him. There's nobody like him. I'm learning about him. I'm learning about his ways. I'm learning about his likes. I'm learning about his dislikes. And so I'm in the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. I'm studying the Bible. I'm putting what I learn into action. So I'm learning his ways. So when I go to God, I'm not going to pray anything amiss. I'm not going to pray anything that's not consistent with what I already know about God. So I'm delighted in him. And when we do all of that, God says, that's good. That's good. When you desire righteousness, right? And it's talking about the righteousness of God. There's no righteousness in us in the sense that our nature. The righteousness comes from God. He is the standard. So when we delight ourselves and we are into the things that we ought to do, God classifies us as good. We are delighting in him. And so because we're delighting in him, we're not going to go to him with any foolishness. We're not going to go to him with things that he hasn't already approved. And if we go to him with things that he hasn't already approved, he's going to let us know anyway. So that's why it's important to delight. It's important to be in him. It's important to find out his ways. It's important to walk with him and talk with him to find out what his will is for your life. That's how we know what to do to fulfill our righteous duties. Proverbs 12 and 12. And we'll end today's session with that one and continue this topic next week. Proverbs 12 and 12. The wicked, this is the King James, the wicked desired the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yielded fruit. I'll read it again. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of righteous yielded fruit. There is a contrast here where the psalmist is contrasting what wicked people do in comparison to righteous people. This is what wicked people do. They desire the net of evil men, meaning that they're caught up and they take delight in other people getting into trouble. I know you're probably saying, well, what does that have to do with church people? It has everything they do with people that come to church. We should not take joy in other people's calamities. We should not sit down and do things that's going to cause other people problems. And then we shouldn't be cheerful just because other people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing in and getting caught up in the net. The devil sets traps and people get caught up in it. We should not take joy in that. We should do what the part B of this verse says, but the root of the righteous yielded fruit. So what we do is we're sowing righteous seeds. We are planting righteous seeds. We are planting love. We're planting forgiveness. We're planting joy. We're planting all of the virtues that God wants us to exhibit. So we don't take joy in other people's calamities. We don't want to see people get caught up in unrighteous net. We don't want people to, we don't take joy in people falling or people getting caught up in things they shouldn't get caught up in. We pray for them and we want them to get to know Jesus. That's what the righteous people do. The righteous people are caught up in goodness. The righteous people are sad when people fall, and we wish the best for them. We want them to get to know Jesus. We want them to live beyond the mundane. We want them to start living holy. We want them to walk circumspect. We want them to have the relationship that we have with our righteous God. So I pray that today's lesson was a help to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart like he has mine to do better, to start taking our life of righteousness seriously. God has a standard for all of us. And through the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to make it through. Father God, we thank you again for this message. We thank you for this Bible study. Lord, be with all of those that are watching us on the various platforms. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.